All right, this is Wednesday evening, 10:28. We're still looking in the book of Revelation, a no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation. And the title of this is Living Under an Open Heaven. Have you ever heard of the old Pentecostal say, somebody, you know, in the Pentecostal movement say, the heavens are brass? You ever heard that statement?
Long time ago.
Like the heavens are brass. Well, I'm going to tell you where we're headed. There'll be no more praying through. Living under an open heaven has always been God's plan for His man. You are His man today, and He wants that for you. Just like He wanted it for Adam. In the biblical account, we see God's plan for man. With that, we're going to read Genesis 1. You know what's amazing to the Lord about that I am coming to know, you know, it comes gradually as you renew your mind with the Word of God, that God really did make everything complete and whole. He absolutely didn't want His man to, He didn't want His man to be in care, to be in want, to be in need, to go without. Those helicopters passed a while ago too. Look, two military helicopters. I think that's what those are. Anyway, let's read Genesis 1. We'll see how perfectly in an order He made everything. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, the evening and the morning were the second day. A note here, Lord, just quickened to me something. I can remember as a little girl living in Midland, Texas, and there being a flood where our mother's little beetle floated down the street. And I remember the Lord speaking to me one time, it's been a couple of years ago, that He said, "I don't flood the earth. I don't bring floods." And since, you know, we've learned now with the geoengineering and the deep state that they cause the storms, they cause the floods, they cause earthquakes, they cause hurricanes, they cause all kinds of things. Not that there's not natural things, but for the most part, it's been geoengineered for money, for some underlying diabolical plan that they have. They make cause humanity to suffer. The Lord said, "I don't flood." You know, after Noah, He promised He would not flood the earth again, and He has kept His promise. And it kind of took me aback because, you know, people think natural disasters. I heard someone the other day that had gone to on a site that this person knew all about geoengineering and exactly how they cause hurricanes and what they do. It was quite amazing. They use chemtrails for that. And they drop it. If it's hot weather, they can really make a good storm. And they can vent it in certain directions. But then the white hats have learned to counter them. If you've noticed, there's been a few hurricanes off the coast where they were supposed to hit and cause all this damage, but they got diverted. So they've learned to manipulate. See, Satan, that extra knowledge of those demons, you know, that they gave to man, and they're still interjecting to man all this extra knowledge on how to do stuff, kill, steal, and destroy. God hasn't done any of it. That's why I don't like in contracts where it says acts of God. Yeah, acts of the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Yeah. I just thought that was interesting. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So God did all of this. He didn't expect the man. He just told the man to tend it. You know what I'm saying? We'll see that. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, which the book of Enoch calls them luminaries. Luminaries. When they talk about landing on the moon and all this stuff, I'm going, it's a lamp. Okay. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply on the earth. And even the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. It was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Okay, everything he made was wonderful. So, let's keep going. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. I mean, he put in a sprinkler system, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pishon, that is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is that that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Sidekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Do you mind turning the fan on, or I can do it? It's just, I'm just kind of very warm. Okay. Huh?
That light's not on either.
I don't need it on.
Okay.
And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would... Did I read to 18? I did, didn't I?
No.
No, I didn't. Where did I stop? 15?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I stopped at 17.
Yeah. Okay. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Okay, well, you'll see the point here. So God formed the man, made his domain, and set down to rest and watch his man. See what he would do. I'm thinking, Lord, you were kind of sneaky there. You put that tree of good and evil in there. Why did you put that there? Because God doesn't want puppets. He wants people that love him because they love him. They want to be his child. They want to serve him because they love him. He wants us to make a choice. We wouldn't be any different than the devil, I guess, as far as a slave master. Okay. All right. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. In Isaiah, it talks about in the millennial that the serpent will still, his meat will be dust. He doesn't get a reprieve. All of creation does, but not the serpent. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Wouldn't it have been a lot easier to be able to just call forth a child? Call forth a child. Think about that. No pain. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. The sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword that turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So man no longer walked under an open heaven, because we know that he walked with God in the evening. Satan sabotaged God's plan. Well, this isn't his first rodeo. We know this has happened. There's no telling how many times this happened over and over. God made what was good, and Satan came in and destroyed it. He had been through this before, so the devil had an earth lease. He took that earth lease from God's man. His earth lease is 6,000 years. Peter talks about 1,000 years as a day, and a day is 1,000 years, talking about the Genesis account, the 6 days that it took God to create. All right, let's go now to 2 Peter chapter 2. Sorry if my stomach growls. I could hear it growling. I worked a lot today, so I hadn't eaten a lot. Okay, 2 Peter, start with verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now you're seeing here the destruction from the time of Genesis all the way down. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Sounds like today. I heard someone say that what they want to do is make the United States Sodom and Gomorrah. They want to make the world Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. I think about how they talk about our president, and I think, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. I saw something the other day. I didn't listen to the video, but this woman that had been in the, what they call, satanic ritual abuse as a child, she said, they're not human. She said, they are reptilian. And she said, the blood keeps them in their reptilian shape. I'm thinking, okay, that's one of those rabbit holes I have not gone down. That's not the first time I've heard that. But I'm thinking, I'm not quite sure that I understand, you know, how exactly that happened. But anyway, just think about that. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. See, there's something wrong. It's like, this is not normal. Maybe they are the seed of the serpent. Maybe they have something has transpired. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart that have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. I'm reading through the Old Testament right now. I'm in Jeremiah. And it's like they didn't go very long without falling back into this. They just, fallen man, it's terrible. I mean, really. Man without God is horrible, terrible. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Talking about Balaam here. For these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought to bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So that tells you that question, if some have stepped over the line, absolutely. They can't come back. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. Okay. God has chosen this cycle, or God has seen this cycle over and over again, but now the earth lease has run out, and now he is free to have his thousand-year rest. It was disrupted by what the devil did on his throne without the devil mucking it all up. His word, by the way, does not return void, so he always has what he says. It may be thousands of years, but he will have what he says, and he has already declared it. He brought the children of... All right, just a minute. Things are about to change for the people of the earth. As he has done many times over the 6,000 years, he has reset things to give man a chance. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He reset everything for them. For weakness, they received strength. For poverty, wealth. For slavery, freedom. For sickness, health. For old age, youth, renewal. Psalms 105:37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. You know what really upsets me, and I heard somebody, I kind of, this person is a prophet from another country, and I'm not going to say any more than that about them. I was asking the Lord about it because they seem to be so negative. You know, they talked well about President Trump and what God had called him to do, that he had fulfilled his first 4 years and he would have a second term to fulfill, you know, the rest of God's plan for him. But I just said, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why they, I mean, I know this person, he goes all over the world and has visions from the Lord and all angels and all this stuff. And I'm going, I don't understand. And I think he gave me the answer this just a few hours ago. He said to me, I cannot impart things. If a person's not, if their mind's not renewed, say they're old guard, they're used to the way it is, they perceive everything from that perspective, and therefore I cannot impart any other revelation to them. It's like the new wine into the wineskin. I can't impart that revelation into them, even though they may continue to have visions and I'll speak to them, but I cannot give them. It's like the renewing of the mind process, and we're going from glory to glory. So the Lord, He's expecting us, as we renew our mind, then revelation comes. Insight comes, where we can follow Him. We may touch on this again Sunday because of the series we're doing on learning to walk in the Spirit. But I thought, I understand that now. Because that's what you're hearing. That's when you hear people on preachers on social media or whatever, and they're talking about things, and they're not talking like the times we're in. And I'm thinking, what's wrong here? Why? Jesus, when He came and He brought the kingdom, what did John say? Change your mind for the better so you can receive the kingdom. Most of the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day, that dispensation, they did not receive. A few did, but most of the part, they were instrumental in having Him killed. And I'm thinking, that word that I had Sunday about the old guard dying off, it's the time is coming. You know, that's what I thought about. I thought, Lord, you know, that's why I don't listen to hardly anybody anymore, because I get so disappointed and I get angry. And I said, I shouldn't be getting angry. They're not in a position where, I don't know what keeps them from, because I said, Lord, since I started teaching, You've been giving me weird stuff, you know. And I said, it's very difficult to get someone to believe you and not make fun of you. I've had somebody make fun of me over it. And you just think, well, it's the truth. And I can't say that I always totally understood it, but anyway, I was just going to say that because I feel like, how are we going to know or perceive or walk in it? Well, those that have been awakened, they've been awakened for a reason. That's what the Great Awakening is about. He's called all the virgins to wake up and trim their lamps, but not all the virgins will. Maybe, you know, I say, well, Lord, maybe that's part of what our job will be. In fact, I was listening to a word by Danny today, and it was, I'm trying to think, it was this year, but it was earlier in the year. I think it was in March. And it was about that very thing about we're going to have to bring the church along. We're going to have to bring people along because they haven't perceived. They don't know. So they will learn to walk in the ways of the Lord. Kind of like the disciples bringing the new dispensation. And they had to get people on board because they were coming out of the law and all of that over into the church age. And so, you know, we'll see. Okay. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not a feeble one among their tribes. He ran the inhabitants off the land and gave it to them as they believed Him and walked by faith. Long journey. What caused man to no longer be under an open heaven? God came down and walked with His man in the cool of the day. His man sided with the enemy, and this caused a barrier between God and man. It caused a stronghold where man could no longer get answers. The only thing he could do was take an animal, you know, sacrifice for his sins. The priest went in once a year. All right, man has always had the power to bind the strong man and shatter the strongholds. Oh, we see. There's men throughout the Old Covenant that walked by faith, like Abraham, David. They had special checking privileges with God because of it. All right, just like the children of Israel, we have to be rescued. We are living in the days that Noah lived in. Mankind has become so polluted. Every thought he thinks now is evil continually. like the fake news. It's beyond my comprehension. The few pictures that I've come across my face that are kind of obscure, and I can't hardly even stand to look at it, and how bad it is, how bad this stuff is. The mainstream media is crickets. Yeah, they won't cover it. Now, the president's bringing things up in his rallies, but, you know, the fake news is not bringing forth anything. They don't want anybody. All right, Genesis 6. This really has to do with the book of Revelation, even though it's not scriptures in Revelation. Genesis 6. At one time I looked up how many generations. I think it was 10 generations. But you know, they had advanced lifespans back then too. And all right, let's verse 1. It says, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord God said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord God said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." You know, it's a sad thing that the animals had to be killed too, because they did experiments on those. You know, all that mess, you know. All right. "Under open heaven," meaning no strongholds of the enemy, "we will see such wonderful things. One thing will be no more delays in prayer." We're going to look at that. This is Isaiah 65:24. You know how we have to struggle to get answers, and it's like the old Pentecostals used to say, the heavens are brass. You know, it just seemed like, man, it's tough. Verse 24. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear." How about that? This is Isaiah 65:24. He hears you. He knows you before you even ask. "There will be no more lies. All the lies that we grew up believing will no longer obstruct us. All the things that we were taught that would have harmed us will now not be disarmed." See, we've been fed a lie about everything. This is Isaiah 11:9. We've done these scriptures before, but I just think it's so cool. I'll just go ahead and read 6. "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Sounds like a great place. As soon as you plant something, you'll harvest. Not go to bed, get up, water the seed, do it, you know, for forever to get a harvest. This is Amos. Verse 13. Amos 9. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the tread of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens, eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. So no more stealing, no more killing, no more destroying. You know why? Revelation 20. Verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So Satan's going to be thrown in the pit. All right. This was God's plan all along for man to live under an open heaven. It was never his will for man to choose wrong. But he had to give man a free choice. It is so sad that man has always seemed to make the wrong ones. But this is what the kingdom of God is about, and this is the way it was in the garden. This is the way it'll be here. We can expect to see the things that Jesus saw in his day. All right, this is Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The kingdom. Did Jesus defy, as the Son of Man, did he defy what was natural? Absolutely. The man walked on water, raised the dead, healed the sick. But it was the Father in him doing the works. Yes, for 1,000 years we will see the power of God manifest in his sons. Jesus said we would do greater works than he did because he went back to the Father. This will be a natural kingdom, but also a supernatural one. When Satan has no opportunity to obstruct or deceive, God's power and glory will be unrestrained here in earth. There won't be anything to stop it. As sin abounded, grace will much more abound. Do you see? Sin has run rampant on the earth, and now grace will. And there's still going to be people that, when the devil's loosed after 1,000 years, they're going to believe his lies. To me, that's just absolutely unthinkable. How could you do that? Okay, we're going to look at a few more scriptures here in Luke. Luke 10:9. I'm glad the Lord spoke what he did to me, because there's so many prophets and all kinds of ministers out there saying all kinds of things. And I'm not saying God didn't say it to him, but it helped me understand. You know, there's stuff that he can't speak to me about. I'm not there yet, you know. All right, 10:9. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. It's always been here. It's always been here. Through Jesus, it was given back to us, or you could say a sample. He gave us a like earnest money. The Holy Spirit was like given in earnest till the time where it would be completely changed and revealed. All right, Matthew 10, 7 and 8. Verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, at your disposal. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Then he goes on to talk about don't take any gold or silver or brass in your purses. Now we get back to where I read in all those in Genesis. He didn't mean for us to lack about anything or want anything. If we wait on God long enough, when he tells us to do something, provision comes. You quoted that today. Where God guides, he provides. That's the way it is in the kingdom. It's not this begging online or begging on TV for money, where you more begging for money than you even bring the word. Okay, Matthew, go back to Matthew 4. He put the man in the garden. He didn't tell the man to do anything but to tend what he'd already made. Isn't that what he told them? Go heal people, do this stuff. Don't take any gold with you, money with you. Provision will be there. 4:16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. For that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's my prayer. Lord, please show your people the kingdom is at hand. Help them to discern the days that we live in. You know why they don't? Rapture. Come on. For the most part. Well, this is going to happen. If I don't see these signs, then I don't believe you. You're an idiot. With no obstruction, no strongholds that bar the kingdom of God from being able to break through, people will be free to believe and receive. God has always seen us as part of heaven. We had a hard time grasping that because of the strongholds of the enemy, but they will be gone. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures on that. Philippians 3:20 is the first one. You know, Enoch walked with God, and God took him. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great scripture in Malachi 3:16. It goes with that. I remember when I was in, I forget what grade, maybe second grade, there was this kind of retarded girl, and her hair was always messed up, and she just looked weird, and I remember making fun of her on the playground or something. And we got in the classroom, and the teacher, she said in front of the whole class to me, a little bird told me something, you know, a little bird told me. And I remember laying my head on my desk and crying. And I thought, it's this scripture, 3:16 here, Malachi 3:16. And I thought, I didn't see a bird. I didn't see a bird right here. And Jesus, I keep going to Matthew. Sorry, my pages are sticking together. I'll get there. weird. Hold on. How strange. Okay. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. You think you're not heard? You think the Lord doesn't hear? He's right here. He's very close. He sits on the circle of the earth. He's looking right down on us like a baby in the womb. All right, Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus has given us scriptures. We don't have to be like Daniel and wait. He has given us scriptures to break through. To break through. It's not God. God has never kept anything from his man. That's never been his plan for man. But Satan is the one that is the obstructor. He is the one that has built up barriers and obstructed our prayers and done all the stealing and the killing and the destroying that's going on the earth. God has never done any of it. Not any of it. Okay, Matthew 18:18, which we're well versed in that one. But isn't it going to be good when the very atmosphere is clear? Every demon, every portal has been closed and sealed. No more demonic rituals to open these portals and let these horrible things from the inner earth in on civilization. Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Is Jesus here? Well, not physically, no. But by his Holy Spirit. But no, when we walk by faith, we cast down any barrier and the heavens are cleared so we can commune with, receive answers from, whatever we need at all times from the Father and the Son. Let me read that again. When we walk by faith, we cast down any barrier that the heavens are and the heavens are cleared so we can commune with, receive answers from, whatever we need at all times from the Father and the Son. We are about to enter into a new age where there will be only good. Just think about that. Only good. I tell you, all we've seen is nearly all evil continually. Okay. Isaiah 2:1-22. I'm going to go ahead and read that chapter. It's a really cool chapter about the millennial reign. This study has kind of opened up the Old Testament. You know, a lot of times we just put the Old Testament out there, but you know, it's our history. And when you read it in light of the new, you see it right. You interpret things right. Okay, Isaiah 2:1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Now, I don't know if this is the holy mountain, the sides of the north where Satan wants to get to, or if it's physical mountains. I don't know. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I've heard that Mount Zion is actually more like a hill. It's not really very bitty high hill mountains in that region. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Right now, the president, he said, I saw a deal that there's 10 more nations in the region around Israel that wants to make peace. He's already done 4. And now he's got all of them, they're backed up, wanting to make peace deals, wanting to make peace, live in peace. Q told us Israel would be last. We thought it meant deep state, clean out the deep state, but I think it meant peace. Peace before Nasera and Jesera. Yeah. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers. Now listen to this verse. They please themselves in the children of strangers. I put here pedos. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols shall he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks, for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he rises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? So that day is coming. Righteousness will reign. Okay, Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth are set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. See, he's going to rule with a rod of iron, it says in Isaiah. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Will Jesus be here physically? I don't know. But it will be an open heaven. It'll be as if he is. He will rule with He'll rule like it's open. You know, God came down and walked with the people. Okay, a few more scriptures here. How long? 5 minutes. Okay, we're going to do it fast. Romans 5:17, we reign as kings in life. Colossians 3, we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, Isaiah 9, not sure what that says, so 9:6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Okay, Revelation 27. I think that's about the great white throne judgment. Let me look here. It's chapter 20, verse 7 through 10. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven, from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast to the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Okay, new heaven and new earth, no more tears and no more death. It's all past. It's past. It's wiped away. This is Revelation 21:18. It's not 20. Oh, no, it's 1 through 8, not 21:18. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All the rest of the evil God weeds out. He gave them a chance, but they chose Satan. Then in Revelation 22, you know, we saw the New Jerusalem. I just read it. Finally, we get to see his face. Well, there's a scripture that says that we'll see him face to face. Maybe it's 22, sorry. All right. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. Okay, finally we get to see his face and serve him on the same throne that he has been seated at since he sacrificed himself for us. God is going to give mankind every chance to choose him. They will have 1,000 years of his goodness to be led to repentance, and then that opportunity will be gone. Okay, 14. Of chapter 22, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Jesus hath sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Okay, I think I got one more scripture here. No? He is so long-suffering, he is not willing that any man should perish. In the coming days, we will have our work cut out for us, for see how corrupt the world is and how brainwashed men are. We will have these years to proclaim the kingdom of God and welcome all those who will receive it. Okay.